I'm going to do something for this time together that I have not done since June of 2018. So those of you who were here 3 years ago might remember that about the same time that we were studying through the book of Hebrews in our adult auditorium class, I just got up one Sunday and read the book of Hebrews. And so, about the same time that we are studying the book of Philippians and mining shafts down into it, I'd like to stand up and read through the book of Philippians. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is give you the reason why. I'd like to give you, get some buy-in, to use the phrase that we used this morning in our leadership class. I wanted to talk about why this is a worthwhile activity and hopefully persuade you that this is valuable. So, something that's very interesting when you study the Old Testament, I've just thrown all of the different scriptures up there on the board, is you see a pattern emerging throughout that first section of the Bible that people got up and read scripture a lot. In fact, if you go to Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, there's a record there of Moses taking the book of the law that he had written by God's direction, reading the whole thing to the people. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, you have a record of him saying to the people right before he dies, hey, at the Feast of Booths, every 7 years, I want you to gather all of the Israelites, doesn't matter what their ages are, I want the young kids there too, I want the sojourners there, and I want you to read the book of the law to everybody there at that time. In the book of Joshua, in Joshua 8, this thing happens there. They go into the land with Joshua, they go up to two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and they recite the book of the law to all of the people that they had just written out. In the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 23, Josiah finds the book of the law inside the temple after it had been stuck on a dusty shelf somewhere. And so what he does is he gathers the entire country together at Jerusalem, and he reads the book of the law to the entire nation, and everybody is there to hear it. In the book of Nehemiah, after they had finished the wall in 52 days, they hold this celebration. Ezra gets up on a platform that he had made, and from the text says, from early morning until midday, there was a scripture reading. And there were priests there to give the understanding, help people grasp what was being talked about. But nevertheless, this adds to the pattern that we see running throughout the Old Testament of people just getting up and reciting, reading God's words. But you might look at that and go, well, that's the law. That's the Old Testament. That's a pattern back there. But it's interesting that when you keep going into the Bible, into the New Testament, this seems to be something that the Christians did too in the early churches. In 1 Timothy 4, the scripture that Billy just read for us, Paul explicitly says to Timothy, this is a command. This is not a suggestion or, you know, once in a while it might be good to do this. He says to him, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Now, in your translation, you might have public in italics, which means that it is a supplied word. It's not in the original Greek. But there are good reasons for the translators in our English Bibles to put that word there. Because, for one thing, the rest of that verse goes on to say, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, but also exhortation and teaching. Are those solo activities? No, they're not. That happens in conjunction with other people. So there's good reason to say that Scripture reading he's talking about there is with the brethren, with the congregation that he was with at Ephesus. Also, if you look around in that context, around 1 Timothy 4, you'll read a lot of things that have to do with him working with other Christians, not him just taking his Bible off into a corner and reading it himself. And that fits with other passages we have in the New Testament of what these Christians did. If you look over in Colossians 4, in verse 16, Paul says, at the end of that letter to this church, when this letter has been read among you, And I have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. At the end of 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Paul says this, I put you under oath before God. So this is just a little bit serious. To have this letter read to all the brothers. So when they got these documents, it wasn't like two of them went off to the side. They got up and they read them to the entire church. So scripture reading, whether it was from an apostle or it was something else, is something that the entire community did together. So that's what we're going to imitate today. But one other reason that I want to give as we're thinking about why to do this is simply this. When we read these books of the Bible, they were written as complete books, complete messages. And so when we're trying to absorb them and digest them, we need to look at them as complete packages and treat them that way. Now, I don't know what you do, what everybody does in your private study and private reading of the scriptures, but I do know what we do publicly, because half the time I'm doing it or somebody else is doing it. We're all here together seeing it. What somebody does is we take a chapter or we take a paragraph or sometimes we take a couple of verses and we dive deeply into those. And there's value in doing that. That's why we do it. Because when we look in the book of Acts, you see teachers doing that. And frankly, in the book of Philippians that we've been going through with this Colonists of Heaven series, that's what we're doing. We're taking themes, threads out of the book, and we're tracing them through the book that he wrote. And so there's value in that, but it occurred to me, and especially as I was talking with Jenny about this series and what we're doing, she was making the point to me that, you know, it's good what we're doing, but this doesn't really give you and capture the flow of the entire book. We're just looking at bodily resurrection, or we're looking at have this mind among yourselves, and we're not seeing the whole picture as a complete package. So I think it's valuable to get out our microscopes with scripture, but it's also valuable and necessary to go back to the 10,000 foot level. So that hopefully is persuasive to you about why we're doing this. This is not Nathan is taking a Sunday off sermon slot. This is Nathan is really trying to do something that the scriptures teach we should do. So with that in mind, we're just going to read Philippians. And you can listen, you can read along in your Bibles with me, but that's what we're going to do and then wrap it up after that. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is, my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proof of work. How as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my needs, for he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are of circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained it, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I'll say rejoice, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I was speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payments and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So having heard the voice of God in great concentration, much more than you've heard my voice, if you need to obey and accept this gospel call that you see in this letter, like you see in every book of the Bible, God invites you to become part of this partnership, this work that Paul and these Christians at Philippi were doing together for the cause of Christ. If you want Jesus to fill you up and cause you to rejoice in all situations and all things, if you want to become part of this job that He gives to His children to be lights in a twisted and perverted generation like it talks about here. If we can help you in any way to join yourself with Jesus or to come back to him, let us know. And together we stand up and sing the invitation song.